Well, again, welcome to this invited educational symposium on characterizing cognition in nonverbal individuals with autism. I'm Jerry Dawson. I am the Chief Science Officer at Autism Speaks and Research Professor in Psychiatry at UNC Chapel Hill. So why a specific focus on nonverbal children with autism? Well, what we know is these children are often not included in research projects because they may be difficult to test. The research paradigm may involve response to language or verbal instructions. And so often we don't include kids who are nonverbal in our projects. And this is one of the reasons why very little is known, actually, about the causes of why some children with autism do not develop spoken language, or even what are the best intervention approaches for a child who is not developing spoken language. One of the particular challenges is assessing cognitive abilities of children who are nonverbal. And what we've learned is that many children who are non-speaking, who may appear as if they have very significant intellectual disability, actually have much stronger cognitive abilities than you might expect. But how do we assess this, and how do we determine what the intellectual capabilities are of a person who's nonverbal? So in 2008, Autism Speaks launched a special initiative that was focused specifically on nonverbal autism. And what you'll hear today is about four projects that were funded through this special initiative. And some of these are already have data. Others of these projects are still in progress. But I hope you'll enjoy hearing about some of the innovative approaches that these scientists are using to understand nonverbal autism. There then was subsequently a workshop in April of 2010 that was sponsored by the NIH, and we brought people together to address what we do know and what are the gaps in our knowledge about nonverbal autism. Now, here are a few of the highlights that came out of that workshop. One is we know that this is a highly variable population and that we need to be thoughtful about what we mean by the word nonverbal. So in some cases, we may be referring to preverbal children. These are children who may have just entered intervention, have not yet developed language, but eventually will. There may be non-speaking children. These are children who do have a means to communicate, primarily through alternative and augmentative communication devices, but they're not using speech as a primary means of communication. And then finally, non-communicative, an individual who has not yet developed a functional way of communicating through with others, either through speech or through AAC. It's been a challenging population to define, partly because it is so heterogeneous. There is no single set of defining characteristics. And as I mentioned before, very challenging to assess, and that we felt that there is a need for innovative approaches to assessing cognition and language comprehension. And as I said before, nonverbal does not necessarily imply the existence of an intellectual disability. So what percentage of children are nonverbal? Here is a study that was published in 2007 by Kathy Lord, where she followed a fairly large group of children, 172, from age 2 to 9, and then looked at what percentage of children are not speaking. And you see three categories here, children with autism, those with PDD and OS, and children with other kind of developmental delays who aren't on the spectrum. And you can see that having the quality of not having lack of speech is very much associated with a diagnosis of autistic disorder, and less so in PDD or non-spectrum developmental delay, with her estimate being that around 30% of children could be considered nonverbal. Another, I think, interesting point that is very different than when, in terms of the way we think about this, than when I first started in the field, is that there are children who develop language after the age 5. And it used to be thought that if you haven't developed language by 5, that you know, this is some kind of a sensitive period that you've passed. But in fact, there are several documented cases, and this particular paper by Pickett, of children who have acquired speech after five. Now, this does, when it happens, tend to occur in the early part of the elementary age period. So kids who develop speech after five tend to be between five and seven when they first start speaking, and there are very few documented cases after age 13. In these children, there is some evidence of the conceptual and semantic abilities that would be needed to provide a foundation for language. These children tend to have a very strong motivation to communicate by oral speech. These children often have received very intensive and specific training focused on the formation of sounds and words. And in this particular sample of children that was reviewed in the Pickett paper, about 70% of them were able to develop the production of single words, but only 30% actually developed phrase speech after age five. So today's symposium is focusing on innovative methods of assessing and treating nonverbal children with autism. The first few presentations will be exploring how we can use technologies, including EEG, ERP, and MEG, to assess cognition and language comprehension in children who are nonverbal. And then the last presentation will be exploring the inclusion of alternative and augmentative communication devices within an early social communication intervention for children who have not develop functional speech. I want to end by acknowledging several people who have been instrumental in the Autism Speaks initiative and have really been an inspiration for this work. Portia Iverson in particular, this has been a long-standing passion of hers. It was her idea to start the initiative on nonverbal autism at Autism Speaks, and this is an area that she's been greatly committed to, and I'm sure it's rewarding to see that not only Autism Speaks, but NIH has put out a special RFA in this area. Leanne Chukowski helped to lead the effort in its early stages and shepherded a lot of the proposals that came in. And then I also want, of course, to mention the families who have donated to Autism Speaks that actually ended up providing the support for the work that you'll be hearing about today.